जय।
रंतराज श्री चैतन्य चरतमृत के श्री श्री राधा राधानाथ के श्री गिरि गोवर्धन के संकीर्तन यज्ञ के श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु के श्री रामानंद रॉय के द डिस्पेरेंस डे ऑफ श्री रामानंद रॉय के God Premanande, all glories to their Sama devotees, all glories to their Sama devotees, all glories to their Sama devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Ramananda Roy ki, Gopremanande. So devotees, today is the disappearance day of Sri Ramananda Roy, very close associate, very close associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he figures in Chaitanya Charitamrita on a number of occasions. In fact, he's there at least after Lord Chaitanya has taken sannyas and left home, left Navadvip, gone to Puri, and then South India, then back to Puri. Ramananda Roy plays a really central part, a very important part in the ongoing pastimes and narration of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's a very special person. He is Vishakha. Well, there are different versions, actually. But definitely one is that he is Vishakha in Krishna Leela, means with very intimate and close relationship with Radharani and Krishna, and therefore very knowledgeable in their pastimes, their relationship, and all the different elements, vast number of elements, which are there in their relationship. Now, so, because he's so prominent in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many places that we could read from, but particularly of interest and particularly important and very revealing is the section, it's in the 8th chapter of the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the section which is is dealing with his conversation with Ramana, with Lord Chaitanya, when they first met, right at the very first occasion. So let us focus on that. And let me read a verse. It's verse 1 from the 8th chapter of the Majjalila. And it sort of summarizes the whole idea, actually, particularly of the conversation. Particularly of the conversation. It was a very amazing conversation which took place between them. So here's that verse. Sancharya Rama Bida, Sancharya Rama Bida, Bhakta Mege, Swabhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani, Gorabdir Etar Amuna Vitir Nais, Tajgyataratna Layatam Prayati. For Chaitanya Charitamrita. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gauranga, is the ocean of all conclusive knowledge in devotional service. He empowered Sri Ramananda Roy, who may be likened to a cloud of devotional service. This cloud. So Lord Chaitanya is like the ocean. Ramananda Roy is like a cloud. Clouds are typically filled with water from the oceans. So this cloud, Ramananda Roy, this cloud was filled with the water of all the conclusive purports of devotional service and was empowered by the ocean, Lord Chaitanya, to spread this water over the sea of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So, that's an interesting point. Thus the ocean of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with the jewels of the knowledge of pure devotional service. Of course, as if he wasn't already, but anyway, it's I hope you got the sort of the flow of the idea. It's got a twist in it there. So Lord Chaitanya is the ocean of all conclusive knowledge in devotional service. Means the ocean of all conclusive knowledge. He empowered Ramananda Roy, who may be compared to a cloud. He's like a cloud of devotional service. So the cloud, how did he empower him? This cloud was filled with the water of the conclusive purports of devotional service. Means Ramananda Roy was filled with all this conclusive knowledge in devotional service, and was then empowered. Ramananda Roy was then empowered by the ocean, Lord Chaitanya, to distribute the water over the sea of Lord Chaitanya. Do you get the idea? So he becomes the source. Lord Chaitanya becomes the source and the recipient of this the amazing ocean or amazing volume of conclusive purports of devotional service, which came from him to Ramananda Roy, and then Ramananda Roy sort of gave them back to him. And in that way, it appears the idea is that Lord Chaitanya became further enriched by receiving that same knowledge back again from Ramananda Roy, enriched because it passed through the heart of Ramananda Roy. And when it passed through the heart of Ramananda Roy, it became transcendentally enriched. And therefore, the ocean of Lord Chaitanya became filled with the jewels of knowledge of pure devotional service. It was already full. But then, when it all came through, Ramananda Roy, it became even better. It's the idea, same idea and principle as Vyasadeva instructing Shukadev Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. But then when that knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, so to speak, passed through Shukadev, through his heart, and then came, having gone into the ears, inside, through the heart, and then out through the mouth again, it all became even richer. Srimad Bhagavatam became even richer. And therefore, it is stated in the Bhagavatam, it's definitely in Tattva-sandarbha, that Narada Muni, who had given Srimad Bhagavatam to Vyasadeva, and then Vyasadeva, who had given that Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukadeva, when they were there on the banks of the Ganges when Shukadeva was instructing Maharaj Parikshit, then they were astonished. They're the two previous steps or links in the chain of disciplic succession. But when it passed Narada, Vyasadeva, then into the ears of Shukadeva and through his heart and then out of his mouth, they were there, they heard it, and they thought, wow, it's almost like we've never heard this before. I mean, doesn't mean he changed it so it was different from what they had heard before. But it was just further transcendentally enriched. And the ideas, say ideas, but the transcendental knowledge that they had given, which had come to Shukadev, had been deepened, and just brought out in more beautiful ways when it passed through the heart and out through the mouth of Shukadev Goswami. Okay, so you understand the idea. You understand the idea. So now, you know, there's so much information here that it would take a seminar, actually, that's definitely a fact. It would definitely take a seminar to really do it all justice, so to speak. But seeing it's the important day, let us at least touch on these things. And you're all devotees. You all have some, you know, quite good understanding of the basic ideas being discussed. So I think it'll be nice. So what happened was that Lord Chaitanya was going to go to South India, and he didn't just sort of walk out the door and go. There were a few days before he went, and so before he went, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came to speak to him and told him, you know, when you're in South India, try to find this person named Ramananda Roy. Try to find him, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been enlightened in Krishna consciousness by Lord Chaitanya, having been, not exactly in that position, some other type of position, maybe more impersonal or speculative or something like that. But then he got enlightened by Lord Chaitanya, and it was just like, wow, for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what a transformation. And it affected him so deeply. It affected him so deeply in Krishna consciousness. So when Lord Chaitanya was going to leave during those few days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke to him and told him that when you're down there, South India, you must find this Ramananda Roy, because he is an amazing devotee. You and he will get on. You'll really get on in Krishna consciousness. He's got such a heart of a Vaishnava. the heart of a Vaishnava, that's a subject. That you, Lord Chaitanya, you are just such an amazing, amazing devotee. So you meet him, it'll be just the right thing. Wonderful thing. So this happened then. Lord Chaitanya went down to South India, and sure enough, you know, like so many things in Krishna consciousness, it's a long story, but he met Ramananda Roy. I won't go through all the circumstances, although it's interesting how they met and how they sort of, you know, the initial contact they had with each other. And the circumstances, the people, the other people who were there. So, yes, when they met, it was on the banks of the Godavari River. And they, because Ramananda Roy, Prabhupada specifically mentions in the course of this description about their meeting, how Ramananda Roy is Vishaka. Like we said, there are other ideas, but anyway, that's okay. Here, Vishaka, you know, is very prominent. And of course, Lord Chaitanya is Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So a natural, as soon as they saw each other, a natural attraction to each other awoke. Extremely strongly on the transcendental platform. So when they finally actually met and embraced, then ecstatic symptoms manifested of most amazing types. Paralysis, perspiration, tears, shivering, paleness, standing up of the bodily hairs. The word Krishna came from their mouths falteringly. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita continues, next verse. When they regained their sanity, they both sat down. And Lord Chaitanya smiled and began to speak as follows. Shri, Shri, Radha, Radhanath, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Yes. Right. So when they regained their sanity, so to speak. So then Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Roy that, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke to me in this way and that. Therefore I've come to meet you. And Lord Chaitanya said that I want to discuss, I want to ask you actually certain questions. And Ramananda Roy, of course, was taken aback by that. He said, you're the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, simply the sight of you melts everyone's heart. So what do you mean? You want to ask me questions? Well, not actually questions. You know, we might feel that we could use the term questions, but really it's more like Lord Chaitanya is making different requests. Please tell me about this. And then please tell me about that. It's more like this, rather than actual questioning. And beginning from a very sort of beginning point of devotional service, of Krishna consciousness, and then going on to the highest level of Krishna consciousness, then beyond the highest level, and then a couple more times beyond the highest level, to the point that Lord Chaitanya is asking him, well, you know, what about this point? Can you explain that? And Ramananda Roy is saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm just opening my mouth and you are sending the words out through it. Yeah, so it's quite a discussion. So anyway, let's just go through it without going into detail. So first of all, Lord Chaitanya, actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, he ordered Ramananda Roy, recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. So that's sort of, you know, you could say starting at the beginning of the story. And Ramananda Roy gives such an answer. If one executes the prescribed duties of a social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. And he actually quotes a famous verse from the Bhagavatam, Vanashrama Chalavata, something, 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 I forget, I don't know the whole verse, but the idea is that you want to become Krishna conscious, follow Vanashrama. You must do that. The verse says, there's no other way to satisfy the Lord. One must be situated in Vanashram, in the four Vanas and Ashrams, whatever is your suitable position. So that's interesting. That's very interesting. The beginning step in Krishna consciousness, Vanashram. And of course, I'm sure you've all heard many times, it's a kind of rallying call for some number of devotees, how Prabhupada said, apparently, that, of course, on many occasions he talked about establishing Varnashram, about us establishing Varnashram, but then there's the idea that Prabhupada said that only 50% of his mission was completed, and the other 50 still needs to be done. And what is that? Establish Varnashram. It's a very famous idea. I'm sure we've all heard that many times before. So this verse then, in the first canto, is making that point. But it's just a first step. It's the first step in Krishna consciousness or into Krishna consciousness. Ramananda Roy says, by doing this, the person awakens from being asleep. Their Krishna consciousness becomes awakened. So now the second request, Lord Chaitanya said, you know, this is external. Tell me about something else. Some other means, he says. And Ramananda Roy takes it to another level. It's more or less, strictly speaking, you could say that it's more or less karma yoga. It's more or less karma yoga. Ramananda replied, so something better? To offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection. This is, as he's expressed it, it's very much karma yoga. That you do your activities, the activities which are natural to you. You do those activities and you offer the results to Krishna. You offer the results. There's not exactly the sense of your whole life being an offering to Krishna. No, you do your duties and then you offer the results to Krishna. So the results are for Krishna. And Ramananda Roy quotes Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 27. I'm sure you all know chapter 9 verse 27, don't you? Anyway, it's a really good verse to learn. Yat karoshi yadishnasi yaj jahoshi tadasiyat yat tapasyasi kuntaya tat karushva mad arpanam. Famous verse. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give, offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, whatever austerities you perform, all the way Prabhupada translates it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a little different to how he translates it in Bhagavad Gita. He is bringing out the Karma Yoga aspect. He says, so all these things that you do, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna. In other words, he's kind of accentuating the point that we are really talking, Ramananda Roy is really talking about karma yoga and not that full self-surrender of bhakti yoga. So now the third request, there's about 15 or 16, 50, at least 15 requests from Lord Chaitanya. So, you know, yeah, we're going into it. So then, okay, Lord Chaitanya says, all right. Well, he doesn't really say all right, but anyway, all right. All right, but this is also external. Please proceed and speak further on this matter. And Ramananda Roy replies, to give up one's occupational duties in Varnashram is the essence of perfection. So, step by step, we are going up. And then actually Ramananda Roy quotes two verses, but the sort of the main one, or the one that we know very well, is 1866. Now you may not know 927, but you do know 1856, don't you? Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just being the school teacher. Sarva dharman parichaja, mame kam sharanam raja, aham tam sarva papebhyo, mokshaya shami, mashuchaha. And again, the way Prabhupada translates it, it's in the context of what Ramananda Roy has suggested. After giving up all kinds of religious and occupational duties, if you come to me, the Supreme Lord, and take shelter, I'll give you protection from all of life's sinful reactions. Oh, interesting translation. Yeah, so it's addressing this point of giving up occupational duties, religious duties, and coming to Krishna. And then he gives shelter, and then when you got that shelter, that's all you need. You don't need any other type of shelter. If some other shelter is being offered, generally speaking, it'll just be an impediment to this shelter. So, fourth request. Lord Chaitanya again rejected his statement and said, go ahead and say something more. And then Ramananda Roy makes an interesting suggestion. Devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection. And to illustrate what he means by empiric knowledge, empiric, he quotes Bhagavad Gita 18:54, which, anyway, you'd have to know a few verses from Bhagavad Gita to know it. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashojati Nakankshati Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. It is 1854, as I recall. So, in the translation Prabhupada gives, one who is thus transcendentally situated through sort of a cultivation of knowledge, this is the context in Bhagavad Gita at that point in the 18th chapter, one who is thus, through going through that process of cultivating empirical knowledge, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything, is equally disposed towards every living entity, and in that state he attains pure devotional service. He didn't have pure devotional service before that. If anything, it was mixed with that jnana, which has been referred to in the verses prior to 1854. So, after hearing this, the Lord, as usual, rejected it, considering it to be external devotional service. He again asked Ramananda Roy to speak further. Ramananda Roy replied, pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. And he quotes a verse from, I think it's Srimad Bhagavatam, I didn't note down the reference. But in it, Lord Brahma says, those devotees have thrown away the impersonal conception of the Absolute and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about, well, Lord Brahma is addressing the Supreme Lord, about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. And he goes on further. But that's the basic idea, that these devotees, previously they had some impersonal conceptions. Maybe they were too much into this idea. You're not this body, you're not this body, you're not this body, just getting into it and sort of bashing people with that a bit too much. But then they meet some more advanced devotees who are more devotional, and so they give up at least the excessive impersonal emphasis. I mean, not just, they give up the impersonal emphasis. And, you know, of course, not that they reject the idea that we're not this body, but they accept the idea we are not this body, but we are spirit soul, eternal servants of Krishna. And then that way they perform a more purified type of devotional service. So now the sixth request. At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, this is all right. So he's at least come to the point, all right, I'm willing to go along with this idea. But still you can speak more on the subject. Yeah, it's not just worthy of rejection. It's worthy of acceptance. But there's more. And, you know, we should really get that more. So then Ramananda Roy presents the next option is sadhana bhakti. First Vaidhi sadhana bhakti he presents, and then Raganuga sadhana bhakti, but on very advanced levels. He says ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection. So here are the two verses. This is the one about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. As long as there's hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, The various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. This is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And then Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is, intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So this is very specifically Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. Even though Ramananda Roy has referred to it as ecstatic love, but it's still on the level of sadhana. And actually, for that matter, Srila Prabhupada quotes this second verse we just read on a number of occasions in that regard. So, yeah, Raghunuga Sadhana, which brings you to Vraja Bhakti. So next stage must be what? Vraja Bhakti, or at least bhakti in the rasas, in one of the rasas. This is now the seventh request. We're kind of in the middle there somewhere. So hearing up to the point of spontaneous love, the Lord said, this is all right, but if you know more, please tell me. Lord Chaitanya, his whole mood is changing step by step. Yeah, becoming more and more appreciative. Yeah, and appreciative of Ramananda Roy. So in reply, Ramananda Roy said, spontaneous loving service in servitude, as exchanged by master and servant, is the highest perfection. Means dasya ras. The devotee is now situated in dasya ras, serving the Lord. And a verse is quoted. It's actually from Yamunacharya in his Stotra Ratna, but it does appear in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, Ramananda Roy actually speaks it. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a perfect master? Yeah, so this is devotional service, perfect devotional service in prema, or at the very least bhava, in dasya ras. So now you can probably understand that the next three requests about, you know, okay, that's nice, can we go further? The next one is about devotional service in friendship. The one after, the ninth one, is about devotional service in the parental relationship. And then the following one, the tenth one it is about devotional service in conjugal love. Let's not skip it. Let's just read the verses that are suggested by Ramananda Roy. So in regard to devotional service and friendship, neither those engaged in the self-realization of appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service while accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, nor those under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, none of those people can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. There's a sequence of verses where sort of wonder is expressed about how did these boys come to associate with Krishna as his friends. And the last line of the last verse is very famous. Krita punya punja. Krita, meaning activity. Punya, pious activity. Punja, worshipable activity. What did these boys do before to associate with Krishna face to face as his friends? Then in the parental rasa, well, two verses are presented, but let's just read one. O Brahman, what pious activities did Nanda Maharaj perform by which he received the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as his son? And what pious activities did Mother Yashoda perform that made the Absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna call her mother and suck her breasts? It's just, you know, what did she do? Krishna is such a person. To get Krishna to do something like that, it's inconceivable. Even though people in the material world may try to order the Lord, you must give me this or give me that, but no, it doesn't work. It's hopeless. But she and Nanda Maharaj, Krishna was relating to them as parents. So then the 10th request is, the Lord says, your statements are certainly getting better and better one after the other. But surpassing all of them is another transcendental mellow. And you can speak of that as the most sublime. He appreciates Ramananda Roy. You are qualified. You're able to speak of it. Ramananda Roy replied, conjugal attachment for Krishna is the topmost position in love of Godhead. So just remember, you know, of course that's true. It is actually the topmost position. All the others which he's mentioned so far, in virtually all of them he said they're the topmost, but they're not exactly. But now this is exactly. So Ramananda Roy quotes a whole lot of verses, in fact. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world, nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, girls whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women, who may be very, very beautiful according to material estimation. Yeah, so conjugal love, topmost position. However, like I said, there are at least another 4 requests. So, and having said that, Instagram, I want to just change Instagram. All right, Chaitanya Das. I'm going to Minyat. Did you know you can change Instagram in 10 seconds? But why they insist on that, don't ask me. So now Chaitanya Das Prabhu, our very qualified translator, has to put in a request. And then Oh, here he is. And then we can continue. Okay. All right. Okay, so. So here now, this is, Lord Chaitanya has accepted. All right. This is the topmost perfection. Thank you very much. You have given me the topmost perfection. And so therefore he responds. Ramananda Roy has recited many verses, it's at least 10 verses, glorifying devotional service in Madhurya Rasa, the conjugal rasa. But Lord Chaitanya replied, this is certainly the limit of perfection. But, please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more. And Ramananda Roy says, until this day, I didn't know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. Yeah, no one is capable of inquiring further. And so then he gives a whole lot of verses and descriptions, but let's just read one or a couple of them. Among the loving affairs of the gopis, Ramananda Roy continued, Srimati Radharani's love for Sri Krishna is topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly esteemed in all revealed scriptures. So, all right, devotional service or love of Krishna in the conjugal rasa is the perfection. There is nothing higher. But amongst those who are in that conjugal rasa, there are different gradations and levels, and the highest is Srimati Radharani. So then he quotes another verse. It's spoken by the gopis who were left behind when Krishna left the rasa dance, sort of in the middle of the rasa dance, and took Radharani with him. And the gopis realized, oh, he's gone, and Radharani is gone also. Oh, he's taken her with him. He didn't take us. That means she's on the higher level. So they said, dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please speak on. I'm very happy to hear you, because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. So we'll just read one more verse here in this section. Ramananda Roy says, during the rasa dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of the dependence of the others, other gopis, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifest. Therefore, he stole her away. In other words, Radha and Krishna cannot exchange love fully as they want, as they can, and as they desire, while the other gopis are there because they feel restricted by the love of the other gopis, who may become confused when Radha and Krishna interact in the most intimate ways. So after hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy, That for which I have come to your residence has now become an object of truth in my knowledge. Nevertheless, I think there is something more ahead, and my mind is desiring to have it. Kindly explain the transcendental features of Krishna and Radharani, and explain the truth of transcendental mellows and the form of love of Godhead. Ramananda Roy says, I don't know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound. You make me speak. You inspire me within the heart and make me speak with the tongue. I do not know whether I'm speaking well or badly. So then he quotes different verses showing the position of Krishna and Radharani. To show the position of Krishna, he briefly refers to the story of Mahavishnu stealing the sons of the Brahmin couple in Dwarika because Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna. And he felt if he put Brahmins into great difficulty, Krishna would come to help solve the problem of the Brahmins, because the Brahmins are very dear. So therefore he would get to see Krishna. But otherwise he can't. Even Mahavishnu can't see Krishna. And then what is the position of Radharani? She is the Hladini potency. Yes. The essential part of love of God is called Mahabhava, transcendental ecstasy. And that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. Like, there's many verses, there's a few pages of things there. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, now I have come to understand the truth of the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Nonetheless, I still want to hear how both of them gloriously enjoy such love. And Ramananda Roy says, I don't think my intelligence goes beyond this. But then he explains that there is a certain aspect of love between Radha and Krishna called Prema Vilas Vivarta. And he says, you can hear about it from me, my Lord, but I don't know if you're going to be happy with it or not. So then he sings a song which he himself composed. But when as he was doing it, Lord Chaitanya blocked Ramananda Roy's mouth with his hand. Stop. No more, please. But just to introduce it, here's the beginning of it. So it's Prema Vilas Vivarta. Alas, before we met, there was an initial attachment between us brought about by an exchange of glances. In this way, attachment evolved. That attachment has gradually grown, and now there is no limit to it. Yeah. So therefore, it's a long verse. Therefore, because this attachment has grown so much, just unlimitedly, now there's separation. Now, during this time of separation, it's very difficult to explain these loving affairs. Yeah. So, now during this separation, that attraction has increased to another ecstatic state. In other words, yeah. Well, love, conjugal love between Radha and Krishna in separation. And now Lord Chaitanya says, This is the limit of the goal of human life. Only by your mercy, Ramananda Roy's mercy, have I come to understand it conclusively. The goal of life cannot be achieved unless one practices the process. So now, being merciful to me, please explain the process by which this goal can be attained. And devotees, you'll be interested or even happy to know, this is the last request. Ramananda Roy replied, "I do not know what I'm saying, but you've made me speak what I've spoken, be it good or bad. I'm simply repeating that message." So he goes on. So the conclusion, though, let's just get to the conclusion, that what is it now? Where is the right place? Okay. Actually, only the gopis have the right to appreciate these transcendental pastimes, and only from them can these pastimes be expanded. Without the help of the gopis, one cannot enter into these pastimes. Only one who worships the Lord in the ecstasy of the gopis, following in their footsteps, can engage in the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Only then can one understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. There is no other procedure for understanding. So that's the basic point. That's the basic point. The question or request is, please explain the means by which this goal can be attained of conjugal love in Vrindavan and being involved there with Radha and Krishna, and it's just beyond superhuman. So what is the means to achieve all this? Only by following in the footsteps of the gopis. Only then can one understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. There's no other procedure. So that's the conclusion. After hearing this, therefore one should accept the mood of the gopis in their service. In such a transcendental mood, one should always think of the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. After hearing this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Ramananda Roy, and both of them, embracing shoulder to shoulder, began to cry. The entire night was passed in this way, in ecstatic love of Godhead. Hare Krishna. There is more. Lord Chaitanya, later, like the next day or something, presents a whole lot of actual questions to Ramananda Roy, which are sort of simpler to deal with, you could say. But this is really the main part. This is the most famous part of the conversations between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna. Sri Ramananda Roy ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri La Prabhupada ki. Any comment? Jai Satchinanda Prabhu. Loud and clear. Can we use the mic, or is it off limits? If they don't catch us, we can use it. Ramananda Roy is really brilliant. I just read some verses, and that's really
nice.
So, okay, earlier we explained that Ramana, well, we didn't, Prabhupada says in one of the purports, Ramananda is Vishaka. Therefore, when he met Lord Chaitanya, who is Radharani, you know, their relationship in Goloka Vrindavan is just a very, very amazing relationship. So a natural, that sort of bond developed, extremely powerful. But yes, Jai Satchidananda Prabhu has pointed out, because he is an ocean of transcendental knowledge, that it is also stated elsewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita and confirmed by Prabhupada that Ramananda Roy is also Arjuna from Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. Two in one. And how does it work? Well, yeah, how does it work? It's a good question. But under different circumstances and different situations, one or other of those persons would sort of manifest predominantly. Yeah. And in a different, like in the very conjugal, like Lord Chaitanya discussing with Ramananda Roy in Puri later, then, you know, it's predominantly Ramananda Roy as Vishaka. But at other times when in other more, you know, not conjugal types of discussions, Arjuna might well manifest more prominently or like something like that. We did mention, we read the verse actually, where conjugal attachment, the first time that the conjugal rasa is introduced into the discussion, just after parenthood has been presented, then next is a conjugal love. And we read the verse, when Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world, nor was such a thing ever imagined, ever imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets. Girls whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers. We don't have that experience here. And what to speak, well then he says, what to speak of worldly women who may be very, very beautiful according to material estimation, means lower level like this level. So, okay, the point, so Jai Satchinanda Prabhu mentioned, referred to, there's a pastime where the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, wants to enter the rasa dance. So she comes down from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan when Krishna was there 5,000 years ago. And she's gonna enter the rasa dance that night. She comes down sometime during the day. So that evening she's going to enter the dance as far as she's concerned. But then there's the question, okay, how am I going to enter the dance? Shall I just try to walk in? Or what am I going to do? And she decides, I know, in order to prepare myself, I'm going to do some austerities. So she went to a place called Baalvan. It's one of the 12 forests, and it's there, it's still there, and there's actually a very nice temple there now. The temple has been there for many years, but now they've developed it, and it's really nice. And there is the deity of Mahalakshmi, big deity. And it is Lakshmi still doing austerities 5,000 years later, still with the hope of entering the Rasa Dance, but 5,000 years later, she has not succeeded because, as the very last point that Ramananda Roy made, you have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, not just the bridge buzzies in regard to conjugal love, but the actual gopis. And he said, there is no other way of doing it. And Lakshmi was not willing to do it. She could have done it, or tried to do it, but she would have had to have given up her very respectable, important, opulent position as the goddess of fortune and become a little gopi girl. She wouldn't just go straight into the Rasa Dance. Here I come, Rasa Dance. No, she'd have to start as a little gopi girl and get trained up. What does it mean to be a gopi in Vrindavan? It means it's not just dancing. It's not that they only go dancing. It's a whole way of life. And they have to learn how to herd the cows and pick up the cow dung and make the cow dung patties and clean the house and cut the vegetables for Mataji and then to cook. And then when they're a little more mature, then they can start, you know, there's a possibility of entering the Rasa Dance. So Lakshmi Devi, it seems she was aware, but she decided, no, I'm going to just go in as I am, as Lakshmi, the super opulent, you know, unimaginably by our standards, opulent goddess of fortune, super powerful, the queen, empress of all Shaktis. I'm going to go in like that. And you can imagine, if somehow or other she actually tried to, what a rasa basa. You know, it would be so dramatic, flamboyant, so excessive in the context of the Rasa Dance. She would stick out, not like the classic sore thumb. She'd stick out like hundreds of sore thumbs, and it would just be too much. Because you know what happens in the Rasa Dance when something really kind of goes transcendentally wrong, the Rasa Dance stops. And that's what happened when Krishna left the Rasa Dance. The gopis became so-called proud that Krishna is dancing apparently with me alone, each gopi, it seemed like that. So Krishna left the Rasa Dance with Radharani. The Rasa Dance stopped. So when there's some, you know, extraordinary feature, somehow, the Rasa Dance stops. What's his name now? Shankachuda. When Shankachuda, we will be discussing about him in our seminar, but after a little while. When Shankachuda came, at least according to the description of Rupa Goswami, the rasa dance was going on, and he stole the gopis from the rasa dance. And the rasa dance stopped, of course, because the gopis were stolen. So when something, you know, some extraordinary thing happens, sometimes the rasa dance stops. And if Lakshmi had tried to walk in, you know, as Lakshmi, the classic Lakshmi profile, the rasa dance would have stopped. And everyone would have been disappointed. And they would have been thinking, who are you? And what on earth are you doing here? Something like that. Is that okay? Gate crashing, okay. Yes. Gopeshwar Shiva. Actually, he got there. He got right there. He was just about to go in, but the gopis stopped him, so the rasa dance didn't have to stop. But it was really close. If Gopeshwar Shiva had got in, oh, it would have, there would have been a disturbance in the rasa dance. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sure. Hare Krishna. Oh, okay, he's gone.